Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, state leaders celebrate the groundbreaking of a new Rivian electric vehicle plant in Atlanta. Governor Brian Kemp says an immigration raid at a Georgia Hyundai plant won't deter foreign investors. And how will changes to national vaccine policy affect access in Georgia?
My concern is that we've seen the decline in vaccinations in our children's population here in Northwest Georgia. Our 10 counties aren't at herd immunity for any of the vaccines.
Today is Tuesday, September 16th. I'm Chase McGee, and this is Georgia Today. State leaders gathered for the groundbreaking today of the 2,000-acre Rivian electric vehicle factory east of Atlanta. GPB's Amanda Andrews reports on the ceremony.
Speakers included Governor Brian Kemp, Morgan County officials, and Rivian founder R.J. Scringe. When completed, the facility will employ 7,500 people to build electric vehicles. The $5 billion project was announced in December 2021 and was the largest economic investment in state history at the time. Scringe says they're working to find local sources for car parts to keep prices down.
We've been working closely with the state in a number of cases to bring those suppliers either here to the state of Georgia or to work with new suppliers that are based in the state of Georgia. This is a really big part of the effort.
The first vehicles built in this factory are expected to be available in 2028. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
At the groundbreaking ceremony today, Governor Brian Kemp said he doesn't expect an immigration raid that resulted in the arrest of around 500 people at a battery plant in southeast Georgia to deter companies from locating in the state. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Kemp says that he has had conversations with the White House about the need for visas for immigrant workers, and he is hopeful for a solution.
That's not a problem that was just for Hyundai. I mean, really, a lot of companies across the country have dealt with that issue, and that's really one of the things that Donald Trump ran on when he ran for president, was cutting red tape, trying to be more efficient. And I think this is one of those times where, you know, something good will come out of this in the end.
Kemp has expressed support for immigration officials in previous comments on the raid. Many of the workers taken into ICE custody were South Korean, and the South Korean government has expressed concern over the operation. ICE says the workers came to the U.S. illegally or overstayed their visas. But lawyers for some workers say they were lawfully present. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
There have been big changes in the nation's vaccine policies this year, specifically as they relate to shots that protect against COVID. This week, a committee at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention may make even more changes. So you might be wondering how you can access vaccines this fall. GPB's health reporters Sophie Gratis and Ellen Eldridge have been speaking to experts to figure out what's going on and are here to explain what they learned.
They spoke with GPB's Orlando Montoya.
Sophie, we'll start with you. What's the biggest issue people are facing right now with access to seasonal vaccines?
So people are saying that they've had trouble getting an updated COVID vaccine at their local pharmacies, which is where they used to be readily available. And that's because they're being asked to bring in a doctor's prescription for the vaccine.
That's never been necessary before, so what's changed?
Well, mainly the Federal Food and Drug Administration changed its approval for COVID vaccines. They say now that only seniors or adults and kids who are high risk or immunocompromised should get it. And since pharmacists don't have people's medical histories, they want proof from a doctor that people meet that new criteria. Georgia law also requires that pharmacists follow recommendations from that CDC council that you mentioned, which is called the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP for short, before they give the shot.
And so what is that group recommending?
Well, we won't know until at least Thursday.
And in the meantime, how can people who want the COVID shot get it?
Right. Well, I talked to Stacey Kirshner, who's a health law professor at Georgia State University, about that. And she said that there is a way for doctors to prescribe the COVID vaccine to people who don't have underlying conditions.
Doctors or other prescribers are able to prescribe off-label, and that means that they don't have to prescribe under the exact FDA approval.
So she says that doctors do that all the time, but that it's harder to get insurers to cover off-label prescriptions. And if the ACIP further narrows down those FDA recommendations for the COVID vaccine, insurers could be even more hesitant to cover them.
Turning now to Ellen, we're heading into this season when lots of people usually get sick. And so what have you learned about how the updated COVID vaccine can protect people?
Well, the newest vaccines target the most likely strain of seasonal coronaviruses. That's why they are important. So just like how there's an influenza booster each year, there's one for COVID, too. I spoke with Dr. Camille Vaughn. She's a gerontologist at the Emory University School of Medicine. She's advising older adults to get the updated COVID vaccine when it's available. As far as whether Medicare will still cover it, she says that remains to be seen.
I would doubt a change would occur, especially with the indication for 65 and older to receive the newest vaccines.
What's the larger conversation happening around this in Georgia?
Well, providers and public health leaders have already been thinking about what these big changes by the federal government mean for vaccine-preventable diseases. Dr. Gary Vosio runs the Public Health Department in Northwest Georgia. He said the COVID vaccine helped people, and so do other vaccines, especially the ones that kids get when they're young.
My concern is that we've seen the decline in vaccinations in our children's population here in Northwest Georgia. Our 10 counties aren't at herd immunity for any of the vaccines.
He means measles, polio, whooping cough.
And so for now, what's the bottom line for vaccine access?
So going back to COVID vaccines, you will need a doctor's prescription at your pharmacy to get one, but you won't need a prescription at public health departments. Traditional children's vaccines are available as usual, but we are waiting to see if the CDC committee changes that later this week.
Ellen Eldridge and Sophie Gratis, thanks for getting us up to speed on all things vaccine.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
Former Georgia Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan is running as a Democrat for governor. He's been a strong critic of Donald Trump and left the Republican Party this year. Duncan announced his candidacy today, emphasizing his opposition to Trumpism. He joins a crowded field that includes four other Democrats. An appeals court has ruled that Georgia-born economist Lisa Cook can remain a Federal Reserve governor, rebuffing President Donald Trump's efforts to remove her just ahead of a key vote on interest rates. The Trump administration is expected to quickly turn to the Supreme Court in a last-ditch bid to unseat Cook. The Fed's next two-day meeting to consider its next interest rate move begins this morning. Cook's lawsuit seeking to permanently block her firing must still make its way through the courts. The state's highest court will not consider Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis's appeal of her removal from the Georgia election interference case against Donald Trump and others. The Georgia Supreme Court's 4-3 decision today is the latest setback for the two-year-old case. It'll now be up to the Prosecuting Attorney's Council of Georgia to appoint a new prosecutor to replace Willis. She was removed from the case because of what a lower court called an appearance of impropriety, created by a romantic relationship she had with a special prosecutor she hired. Georgia conservatives gathered for the annual Faith and Freedom Coalition Victory Dinner in Duluth yesterday. This year, the slaying of right-wing influencer Charlie Kirk took center stage. Tributes dominated many speeches, including one given by Republican U.S. Representative and Senate candidate Mike Collins.
Even though that bullet killed Charlie Kirk, that bullet was meant for everyone in this room. It was meant to kill and destroy our ideals and our beliefs, which founded this country.
Kirk's killing last week in Utah led to the condemnation of political violence from both political parties. A hospital in northeast Georgia's Franklin County is ending its labor and delivery services, citing Medicaid cuts as a reason for scaling back. St. Mary's Sacred Heart Hospital in Livonia will move its services, including all OBGYN care, to the St. Mary's Hospital in Athens. Officials with the St. Mary's healthcare system says the hospital has struggled to keep permanent physicians and access to other financial streams. It also hasn't been making money delivering babies, seeing less than one birth a day for the past several years. Healthcare system officials say if a baby needs to be delivered in the Livonia emergency room, physicians will be equipped to handle it. Georgia ranks among the states with the worst access to maternal care, with many rural areas in maternal care deserts. Two historically black colleges in Atlanta are among five nationwide, partnering to launch a three-year pilot program to address sustainability goals. Clark Atlanta University and Spelman College will each receive $150,000 and other resources aimed at climate action planning, energy savings, green workforce development, and other goals. The support comes from nonprofits South Face Institute and Sustain Our Future Foundation. That's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. If you haven't hit subscribe on this podcast, take a moment right now and keep us current on your podcast feed. Got feedback? We'd love to hear it. Email us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Chase McGee. We'll see you tomorrow.